Mandy Kolciska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. Reese is a well-mannered, well-trained Kelpie mix ready to retire in style. He's waiting for a devoted family to take him home, love him, and play fetch with him. 4-year-old Pebbles is a super sweet kitty who loves to cuddle and make biscuits. Pebbles would love to be your next best friend and hopes to find her forever home with you.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, December 1st. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Hubbon Smith Director of Development, Ryan Kolciska. As you can see, Ryan, I misspelt your name there.
It's all right. I like Ryan.
Getting a little fast. It is a Monday, so please forgive me. How was your Thanksgiving, buddy?
It was pretty good. Spent some time. We served a meal at the Hub.
Oh, fantastic.
And so I hung out with everybody that came and then went home to a family of sick kids. So
I'll bet that is a fantastic event to just sit there and share a Thanksgiving dinner with, what, hundreds, would you say?
Yeah, there's about 100 people there.
I mean, how amazing is that?
It was, you know, I really enjoy it because sometimes I don't take the time to slow down and, you know, I'm doing my job, you know, writing grants or, you know, doing the, you know, the admin stuff that I
the
do
bureaucracy.
During the day. Yeah, the
yeah.
stuff that you have to do, right? To get paid for. And so oftentimes, like at lunchtime, I don't just slow down and talk to people. And so really for Thanksgiving, I just slowed down and talked to people and heard their stories and heard some amazing stories. So
yeah.
That was really great.
When I was a kid, our family was so big. My mom had to rent out a community center because she just wanted everyone for one dinner, and we knew we weren't going to be able to fit everybody in the house. And so she rented out this community center, and that was probably my happiest Thanksgiving memory. Everybody was there. I mean, and the table was full, and Uncle David was telling dirty jokes to all the kids. It was great. It was fantastic, and great memories there. And to kind of relive that every now and then, you know, maybe not with family in that sense, but family in another sense. I think that's really heartwarming. How are things down at the Hub?
You know, things are going pretty well. Our new executive director has been there a month, really, as of today. And, you know, we're kind of just moving and grooving, getting into the holiday season. And, you know, I've just been looking through some of the numbers at the Hub because our fiscal year runs through the end of September. So we're kind of compiling last year's fiscal year numbers and just kind of looking and see what happened over the last year. And that's always interesting just
yeah.
to see what's been going on. And, you know, services are up. I think we're up 17% in our help at home area. So serving people in their homes, we're up 17%. And our meals, I don't have the final numbers, but it looks like we're up about 2 or 3%, which doesn't sound like a lot until you realize that we serve 100,000 meals a year, and 2 or 3% is several thousand meals.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Wow.
So, you know, it's just interesting to look at that and see, like, oh, there's a reason why we feel like it was busy is because things were busy.
Yeah. Now, we'll talk a little bit about funding and things in the second half. But before I get there, while I've got it on my mind, have you sat down and spoken with other community center, senior center administrators and gone over how, hey, look, funding is, you know, becoming more scarce, but services that we need to provide are increasing, especially here in Wyoming. The senior population's kind of really skyrocketing. Boomers are now, you know, they've been entering this for a while, but they're getting older. And it's the largest increase in senior population in U.S. history. So the services are going to match that. What are they saying if you've had these conversations?
I haven't had the direct conversations, but I know our executive director hasn't. But we are having those conversations as a board and just trying to figure out how to meet the demand because we are seeing these increased needs. We also are seeing that each client, there's an increased usage of our services per client.
Okay, so it's not just one service or two services anymore.
Like we're seeing more need with the clients themselves. So, and then we are, I can't remember the year, but we're about to flip the switch on, I think, actually, is it 20, when is it? In 2035, older adults will outnumber children for the first time in U.S. history.
My goodness.
So there's those conversations happening of, okay, what are we going to do? And the truth is there is funding that so far has been, is showing itself to be less available. And even we're expecting, there's the Wyoming State Services Board that capped funding for next year. And so it affects our senior center. So it'll affect us by about $120,000. Those are just things that are hard to make up. And while services are increasing and costs are increasing, and we've already cut, we already had $500,000 cut this past fiscal year. So, you know, just trying to figure out how to meet the need.
Yeah.
And the finances are, you know, nobody's giving us more.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. We have an incredibly generous community and thankful for some of our foundations that really stepped up this year to help us keep going.
But it was the community and the foundation that these foundations have really allowed this to continue on.
Absolutely.
All right, switching gears on you. Let's talk about something a little happier.
I love
the holiday season. You guys have got the holiday showcase happening at the Hub this week. Can you give me an overview?
Yeah, absolutely. We are taking the whole week, this first week of December, and we're just having a big holiday showcase. And so there's several different things going on this week, and we're really excited about that. And it's stuff that everybody's invited to. So I just want to invite everybody in the community to come. The first one is our watercolor show. And they're actually setting that up today. And so it'll be available to look at the rest of the week. And that's just one of our Hub patrons, Sharon Seiler, just took the initiative. And her and her friends are putting up a lot of their pieces. And they want to show the community. And they'll be for sale. But it'll be in the lobby. And you can just come in and take a look.
Oh, fantastic.
And while they're doing that, tomorrow is our craft fair. Every year we have a holiday craft fair. And so from 9 to 1 tomorrow, along with the watercolor show, you can come and just partake in both. And we've got people from Hub and the community with booths. And so you can come and look at handmade crafts and whatnot. And that's just in our lobby. So you can just walk right in and take a look.
Now, when it comes to that craft fair, one more time, when will that begin? I know some folks really like to get in there early.
Starts at nine.
All right.
Nine to one tomorrow.
9 to 1. How long will the watercolors be up for people to come through and look at?
Through the end of the week. So they'll be up through Friday.
All right. Now, how do you feel that the craft fair really helps to highlight creativity and skills of Hub participants? I know you guys have got a lot of craft classes down there. You kind of see some of the results of this?
It's a little bit of both. Like, we do have craft classes, and of course, that's for anybody that, no matter your skill, you can come and just try out something new and learn something new. And so sometimes we see people that take that to the next level and sell stuff. And a lot of this is just people that this is what they do on their hobbies or spare time. And so they come and some of them, you know, we've even had some that will donate a little bit back to the Hub when they sell their stuff. So it's a variety of, you know, crafts and, you know, potholders, that type of thing, and art. It's kind of a fun mix.
Now, when it comes to how many years you guys have been doing this, what is it?
You know, that is a great question.
but it has happened.
It has happened for a lot of years, and I don't know the answer. I'm sure it's, I mean, I'm guessing we're in the, you know, 20, 30 years, but, you know, I actually don't know that. Well, when I go back, I'll ask somebody who's been there longer than me. Barb Blue's been there 31 years. I'll ask her how long the holiday craft fair has been.
She'll probably
going.
Know exactly when it started. Have you seen a lot of participation in these?
You know, well, we get calls every year making sure that we're doing it, especially from the people that signed up to have their booths. And so we get pretty good. And I think one of the things this year that we wanted to make sure that we got a lot of good participation as far as people coming to it is that we moved it to our front lobby so that everybody coming in and out of the Hub can can see what's going on.
It's kind of the first thing that you see when you walk in, isn't it? How can somebody really take advantage of both the art show and the craft show for Christmas?
Yeah, well, if you need gifts, all of it's for sale. So that's great. And it's the art show will be in the same area as the craft show. So you can just take a little moment and stroll around and just enjoy it all.
A lot of haggling going on.
I can't be in charge of that.
All right. What could you tell us about the Young at Heart Players and their, what is this, Reader's Theater
performance? Yeah, the Young at Heart Players normally do a couple shows a year at the Hub. Pat Tomsovic leads that. And they are doing a Reader's Theater this year called Frank's 75th Christmas. And so we're looking forward to that. It's again, Reader's Theater, so it's not a whole staged production, but it's they always do such a good job.
Now, when does that begin again?
The Reader's Theater is Wednesday, and it is 1 p.m. So that'll be in our dining room. And so it's, again, open to the public. You can come in and you can come and have lunch. And then lunch is served until 1, and then the Reader's Theater starts at 1. So.
It feels like a lot of stuff is happening this first week of December. A lot of planning going in. And I think a lot of people do that because they see the holiday coming. They know people probably already have plans laid out. So now how would you describe the atmosphere created by the – okay, I'm going to try and say this correctly.
Okay.
You can in strum holiday performance.
That's pretty good. You can strum.
You can strum.
The You Can Strum players are a Hub program, and they practice all year long. Anybody can come. You can come as a beginner, or you can come as somebody that knows what you're doing. And they practice every Friday. And so they practice holiday music up to this point. And so they're going to do their performance right after the Reader's Theater will be the You Can Strums. And
this is ukuleles.
Ukuleles. It's really great. You don't even have to have your own ukulele. We one of the foundations, the Witzel Foundation, last year purchased some ukuleles for us so that anybody can come and try it out.
Incredible.
And so you can come and try it out. But you can't try it out for the performance, unfortunately.
Just show up and jump in, right?
I mean, I could do that and get booed off the stage. But if you want to just come normally on a Friday, I can't remember the exact time, but it's Friday mornings, and you just get together, and you don't even have to know anything to show up. And the beginners have their own time early on, and then as you get better, you can call yourself a professional ukulele player.
That's one of those situations that I really like, you know, with the beginners showing up a little bit early. We can go over fundamentals, and then you can see where the growth will eventually take you as everybody else kind of shows up. And, you know, you can end up making new friends. Music has been linked to a lot of things having to do with brain change. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, really helps out with that. What a fantastic program. And I like the ukulele. My daughter really loved playing it when she had one. She didn't stick with it, but it was one of those things I think she saw on TV and she's like, you know what, I got to give that a shot. So we got
it's
her a
little. Happy instrument.
It is. It really is, isn't it? There's not too many laments coming out of ukulele plays. All right. Now, what role do you think live music actually plays in bringing people together? I mean, you've got these fantastic performers down at the Hub. You get these great shows that are put on. What have you seen from those who participate, and what have you heard from those who come to watch and listen?
It's really interesting to talk, you know, some of the people that have partaken in some of these opportunities. I've heard stories of people that just their whole life, they never did theater, they never did music, and they just never got the opportunity, whether it was family or work or whatever. And they said, you know, I'm in a time of my life, I want to try. And they learned something new. And I really think it's a couple things. I think it's wonderful that there's the opportunity, that we provide that opportunity for anybody to come. And it's also great that you don't have to have the skills to start something new. And I think it's really courageous to come, you know, when you're 70 years old and say, I'm going to learn something new. And what I find is that people really just thrive, you know, and it's of course, I think our atmosphere is great because nobody's trying to impress anybody. We're there to have fun.
A lot of nurturing type learning.
We're there to have fun. We're there to grow. Like it's, you know, it's a season where some people say, you know, I'm done. I don't need to learn anything new. But I think more people thrive when you say, I'm going to do something new, or I'm going to really engage in this. And we see that where people really thrive in some of these new activities that they're trying.
I tell you, Ryan, I really hope that by the time I reach that age, I'm not so dang set in stone that I'm brave enough and courageous enough, as you said, to really look at something and say, you know what, I'm going to dive in both feet and give this a shot. And who knows? You know, you hear these great stories all the time about people who find their passion late in life or find something to reignite a passion. And it does. It takes a lot of courage to do that kind of stuff. And I love the fact that the Hub actually offers that for people. Before I go on too much, Just Harmony. This is an a cappella performance. Standout part of the week?
Yeah, on Thursday we have Right at Noon in our dining room, so you can come again and eat. And Right at Noon is the Just Harmony group. Sherry Mercer's one of our volunteers and Hub patrons, and she and her group are going to come and sing some holiday tunes for us. So it really is just a whole week of, you know, nothing costs any money. You can just come and show up and get entertained and enjoy. And it's just a great way to start the holiday season.
And maybe you'll end up finding a new passion. Maybe you'll end up making some new friends. Who knows what's going to happen down there. Where can folks find the full holiday showcase schedule if they really do want to attend every little event?
Yeah, they're on our website as our events calendar, so everything's on there. And also on Facebook, we've got it posted.
All right. Stick with us. We're going to have more with the Hub on Smith just after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
I'm with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, and I hear you're bringing the madness to catering.
Tommy, hi. We sure are. Our teriyaki bar feeds up to 10 humans. You pick one protein and two bases, white rice, brown rice, fried rice, or noodles, and each bar comes with our stir-fry veggies.
That sounds delicious.
And if you need more, just add another teriyaki bar or grab a couple a la carte trays. We make it crazy easy. Hey, and tell everyone you made it. We won't tell.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness on Coffeen Avenue behind Scooters.
Your heart be light.
Celebrate the season with Grammy Award-winning country artist Susie Boggess as she presents A Swingin' Little Christmas, Sunday, December 7th, 2 p.m. at the Weill Theater.
I'll be home for Christmas.
With charm, warmth, and a voice that grows brighter than twinkle lights, Susie and her band will deliver a mix of festive standards and playful surprises. All with a swinging twist.
Cause a Western girl can't be still, and a silent night is not for me. Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree.
Susie Boggess, A Swinging Little Christmas, so 2 p.m. Sunday, December 7th. Get your tickets today at the Wild Box Office or online at wildtheater.com.
The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're talking with Hubbon Smith, Director of Development, Ryan Koltiska. All right, let's talk about the Holiday Spirit campaign, my friend. Can you explain the purpose behind this campaign?
Absolutely, yes. The hub is funded partially by the state and federal government. About 40% of our funding comes from that. About 30% of our funding comes from people contributing, like people contributing when they get home delivered meals or they get in-home services. They themselves contribute to those costs. But then the rest of our funding comes from our community. About 20% of our funding comes from the community. If you're doing math right now, I think that only comes up to about 90%. We've got an other line item too. but about 21% of our income, our revenue comes from the community. And that is why we do the Holiday Spirit campaign, giving people an opportunity to give to the hub and the services we provide. Because we provide services to over 3,000 seniors in Sheridan County every year. So we're reaching 10% of the community through our services.
Now, when it comes to the rising costs that we all see around us, how has that affected the hub's programs? Because I think the first thought I always have is food. You know, people are getting a big crunch at the grocery store. You guys feed how many people a year? You make how many meals a year? You have got to be seeing the result of that heavily.
Oh, yeah. So we serve about 110,000 meals a year, and that's in our dining room and home-delivered meals. And we spend over $30,000 a month on food.
My goodness.
Just food costs. And so, you know, you definitely see that. I think, you know, we do our best. We have less than 1% food waste in our kitchen. So we get to ask that question, so what do you waste? Well, hardly anything, because if we don't serve it on and during the dining room meal or the home-delivered meal that day, we freeze it. And then those frozen meals go out for home-delivered meals for weekend meals. So we have very little food waste, and they've done a really good job to do that, just, again, to save money. And our Kevin, our executive chef, spends several hours a week finding the best deals on food. So, like, everybody's working really hard to stay within budget or below budget if we can. And even then, there's a gap in our meals funding between what we get from program contributions from the people getting the meals and the state and federal government. We have about a $250,000 gap in our food, in our meals program. So that's
$250,000
that we have to fundraise just for our meals program.
That's incredible.
And so yeah, it's you know, everybody always talks about the hub, and most people know, if they don't know about the hub, they know about home delivered meals or transportation. You know, those are kind of the top two visible ones and ones that, you know, the majority of people use. But also because the majority of people use them, they're also our biggest programs and with the biggest funding gaps. So it takes a lot of community support to make it happen.
It really does. How have, you know, changes in the economy really affected the transportation? Because so many people do rely on that.
Yeah, people really do rely on it. Whether it's just, like our fixed route, a lot of times it's all ages because it's people getting to jobs, you know, those that can't afford a vehicle or, you know, so they're going everywhere and it's people of all ages. And then our door-to-door transportation is primarily, you know, the seniors that have lost the ability to drive, need to get to doctor's appointments and things like that. You know, we're seeing just kind of the same as we're seeing in all of our other programs. We're seeing an increase. I think, you know, last year we had almost 56,000 rides and, you know, the previous year, and this year we're over 60,000. So, you know, everything's creeping up. More people are using those services.
Wyoming is a very independent state. We're quite well known for our independence. But as we all begin to age, we have to start relying on our community and those around us. Could you, you know, kind of elaborate on how donor support really helps you preserve the dignity and the independence of the older adults within our community?
Yeah, I think I'll kind of mention that through a story. So like on Thanksgiving last week, one of the stories that one of the people I stop and talk to, her family wasn't in town and she needed a place to go. And she said, "I am so thankful for this place. I feel safe. I can come and I can have a conversation with somebody, and I just know it's here. And that's just one of the hundreds of things that, or the stories we see, just people, you don't know you need it until you need it. But when you need it, yeah, we're here. And families find that out, whether if they're caregiving for an older, you know, they're like an older parent. Like we had some people tell me the other day that they were so thankful for our daybreak facility because, you know, you don't think about needing a day facility for your parent for most of your life.
Or that they need socialization.
Or that they, you know, but sometimes it's your parent, you can't give them a bath anymore and you need somebody to help give them a bath. You don't think about that until the moment that you need it.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, I sure hope it's there.
Yeah. And what am I going to do?
We have so many people coming into our intake specialist, Sandy, she's great. And they say those words like, we need help. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this? And honestly, we have a lot of the solutions through the hub and in the community. And so, you know, it's, I always tell people the hub remains pretty quiet and silent in your community until the moment that you realize you need it.
Yeah. And then you realize how active that place is.
We need this place. You know, whether it's your parent needs rides, you know, or if you're still working and your parent needs rides to the doctor, like they're there. If your loved one is no longer safe at home by themselves, you can drop them off at the daybreak facility. If, you know, you're trying to take care of a parent and they can no longer cook their own meals, it's okay. We have home delivered meals. Like we have all these things that makes it a great place to age.
But the fact of the matter is you guys need your own support. So how can somebody help make sure that these programs stay the way that they are?
Yeah, there's several ways. One is just, you know, during our Holiday Spirit campaign, we love when people support our mission. And so you can give online at thehubsheridan.org, and we have a give button. You can just press the give button. It'll take you to several ways to give. You can send a check to 211 Smith Street to the hub, and we will, that goes straight to all of our programs. And the other thing we always look for is volunteers too. It takes your home delivered meals. Not only do we fundraise for that, but we also rely on 80 drivers a week for that. And so it really takes the community to make sure that all of that happens. So you can call the hub and call Callie there and see if you can get connected as a volunteer.
Ryan, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning and speaking with me, my friend. And if I don't get to see you, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the UCross Artist Residency. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Federal Bank and Trust, we believe financial confidence starts with knowledge.
That's why they partner with schools and organizations to bring financial literacy directly to students and groups in our community.
We provide free educational resources, interactive bank tours, and real guidance from our team of professionals.
It's a smart, hands-on way to build a strong financial foundation.
Learn more or request a speaker today at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Sheridan Media wants to thank each of you who opened your hearts again this year during the 28th annual Christmas Wish Campaign. We continue working very hard to help our neighbors and friends struggling to make ends meet due to an accident, sudden unemployment, or illness this holiday season.
Many wishes have been submitted, and we're in the process of granting as many as we can. But we can always use your help. If you're interested in helping with the 2025 Christmas Wish Campaign, the best way is with a cash donation. Our committee uses all cash donations as necessary to provide exactly what they find as the need for each individual wish.
If you'd like to help, you can donate online at SheridanMedia.com. You can mail your donation to Sheridan Media, P.O. Box 5086, Sheridan, Wyoming, 82801. Or bring it to our office at 1716 KROE Lane during business hours. Partners for this year's Christmas Wish Campaign are First Federal Bank and Trust, Heartland Kubota, Advanced Auto Body, Wyoming Corporate Office, Odell Construction, and A-Line Roofing and Exteriors.
Cookware, kitchen gadgets, cooking classes, a full-service flower shop, we have it all. Hi, this is Sophie with Cottonwood Kitchen and Home. Stop by and check out everything we offer. including coffees and teas, unique kitchen gadgets, small appliances, great new colors of Le Creuset, the Zwillingwall, and Savannah Bee products, just to name a few. Check out our flower shop while you're here. The smells are free. For more information on our cooking classes or to order any of our products online, go to cottonwoodshop.com. See you soon.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Wyoming basketball fans, single game tickets are on sale now. Whether it's the Cowboys and Cowgirls driving to the basket or sinking that clutch three, you won't want to miss a moment of the action in the Dome of Doom. Get your single game tickets now and be a part of every big play, every buzzer beater, and every victory. Cheer on the Cowboys and Cowgirls this year by visiting gowild.com/tickets to secure your seat.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I am joined by UCross Artist Residency Communications Associate, Emmy Whiting. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Most people recognize your name and your voice because you were once with the shelter. You came in here and spoke quite a bit about that
yes.
stuff. You're now up at UCross. And for listeners who may be new to it, can you explain what UCross is and why artist residencies matter to the creative world?
So UCross is an acclaimed artist residency. I mean, it's nationally recognized. And it serves artists across disciplines. We think of artist residencies as kind of like a research and development lab for the arts.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because it's not a school. When you first mention an artist residency, I think a lot of people go to, oh, well, that's an education in a way, but not formal education. It's education almost like push forward by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can try new things.
Yeah. And we just really like to provide that uninterrupted time and space to create and encourage reflection, experimentation, focus, kind of whatever you need to fill your cup.
You've worked in the artist residency world for a while. And I know I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but how have you seen an artist really bloom? I mean, do these times of reflection really cause certain individuals to just blossom?
I would say so. And as you know, because you're my husband, I'm an artist myself. And I think everyone can relate to daily distractions, work life, home life, and then trying to fit your creative life into that when creativity naturally is not formed to fit into a
daily
certain spot.
Routine, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we see so many artists come back and say how UCross and that time has changed their life, not only personally, but creatively as well. And they go home, they're like, I'm going to dedicate time to my craft. Mm-hmm. From this time to this time, no one bothers me. I'm in my office, I'm in my studio, dedicating themselves, whereas they didn't feel the freedom to do that before, or they mm-hmm. wouldn't let themselves before. And then also creatively, there's just been a lot of inspiration. I mean, Wyoming is a beautiful place.
And, oh, yeah.
You've been over to UCross. You know, it's just a gorgeous spot full of just hills, and
viewscapes,
you can see the
forever.
Mountains. And it's just, we have wonderful hiking trails over there for residents, too. So
really clear the mind.
Yes, yeah.
When you get out there. Now, when we look at quiet isolation, this is a pretty powerful, and I don't want to call it a selling point, but it's a selling point for UCross. As you said before, you know, quiet reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out there by yourself, it's pretty amazing to think that these artists have, how long is your typical residency?
So we have options for 2-week residencies, 4-week residencies, or 6 weeks.
I think every composer, writer, artist, mm-hmm. and in any way, thinking to themselves, what would I do with weeks?
With uninterrupted time.
To just create.
Yeah. And it just can create things you never thought possible. Like your work can go in a completely different direction than what you were planning on.
Yeah.
Because in our application process, which our applications for fall 2026 are open right now for anyone who would like to apply. During that application process, we're like, what are you going to work on while you're here? You do not need to stick to that at all. And most people don't. They're like, I found inspiration in this. I'm taking this direction.
Yeah.
Completely different than what they wrote down.
I've actually been to one of the presentations from an artist. And I think they said something along those lines. You mm-hmm. know, I had all these plans when I showed up. But then I saw the viewscape and it changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's in itself very inspiring. You cross. Is an inspiring place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's such a perfect location for these creative artists to get out there. Now, how does UCross measure the impact of residences on their artists?
I think that's just hearing from alumni a lot of the time, because obviously it's so much more than just our artist residency. We also have a gallery. We also host community events, things like that. But I think what really impacts all of us at UCross is hearing from the alumni and how it has changed their work and how it has changed their life.
Yeah. All right. Switching gears on you. Let's talk about Giving Tuesday. For those who may not know what it is, what exactly is Giving Tuesday?
So Giving Tuesday was created in 2012, just kind of with the idea of a day that encourages people to do good. It encourages generosity not only through monetary means, but also actions.
Yeah. And why is it so important to UCross?
So, as a lot of people know, but maybe not everyone, UCross is a nonprofit. Our main goal is to provide for the artists above anything else. And with that comes expenses. And for example, each month-long residency costs us about $12,500.
Wow. Okay.
For each month long residency. So that's why community support is so important, so we can continue to provide for these artists.
Now, switching or staying on the same vein, can you share a few examples of what donor contributions have made possible for visiting artists?
So it's not only going to like daily expenses. The time, the space, the studio space, living accommodations, but also we've really focused on a lot of culinary arts.
Okay.
So this year we actually added a culinary artist residency program.
Holy, oh wow.
Yeah, so because anything can be art, right?
Absolutely.
And with that, food is art. And I think Chef Jackie, who is our chef at UCross, could really attest to that. Her stuff is just beautiful. But we added a culinary artist residency program this year. Chef Jackie has also moved forward with her food endeavors. So she's started doing feasts for the exiting artists. So like the people who are coming to an end to their residency, Jackie will throw them a feast. And one I thought you would really enjoy because they're themed is the Hobbit Feast at the UCross Chapel.
That is great. I would be there in a moment.
I'll have pictures. I'll show you later.
I would probably eat all day.
Yeah. And so we've really tried to focus our funding this year on a lot of food focused programs. So the culinary residency, Jackie's Feast. We also added a farmer to our team who has just taking care of our gardens. Our gardens are flourishing with fresh produce that Jackie uses in her recipes as well. So that's a lot of the focus, but also just providing for artists across disciplines. In 2023, we just added a dance studio.
Yeah.
To really cater to choreographers, to performers, where we are always trying to move forward and see what else we can provide. And the food has been just wonderful for people. We've heard a lot of feedback, a lot of positive feedback about how nourishing they feel. And then they don't have to stop to cook anything. They know that their lunch is going to be delivered to their studio every day. Mm-hmm. They don't have to stop if they don't want to. And that's great.
Especially, you know, as a writer myself, and you as a fellow artist, when you get into a vibe, mm-hmm. and you get going, and it's spilling out of you almost, if you were to interrupt that, that can really set some folks back.
It can. I mean, even when I'm at home letting the dogs out.
Yeah, really.
I'm like, oh, where was I? Where's my groove?
the doorstop gets thrown in there. Now, how can people donate to UCross on Giving Tuesday? And what's the best way for them to participate?
So they can donate either through just going to our website online, by phone, by email, or we also offer by wire. So if you wanted to connect with your bank, whatever works best for you. The best way to see more information is going to ucross.org/givingtuesday. And you can see all the information about it, but you can donate really anytime. So today, tomorrow, Wednesday, but also anytime donations are welcome. Like I said, we're a nonprofit. We're really trying to provide for these artists, and all donations matter and make a difference.
Now, is there a specific goal that UCross is setting that they would like to reach? Or is it just kind of, you know what, open it up and let's see what happens?
So we are looking to get 25,000 this Tuesday. And when we're thinking in terms of how much a residency costs, 1,200 or 12,500, that's going to be like two residencies.
Yeah.
But also, again, going to that innovative programming, we're trying to start with the food programming and, you know, seeing what else we can
branching
provide.
Out.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of opening up the culinary arts as a residency. You know, I've seen many videos of chefs who prepare everything from, you know,
beautiful
chocolate
things.
Statues.
Oh, we
right?
love the chocolate videos.
Statues. It's great. And then I'll watch someone take just regular vegetables mm-hmm. and create this, I almost want to call it a flower garden.
Absolutely, yes.
But it's all edible.
Yep.
So it is absolutely an art. Now, what message would you like to share with supporters who are considering giving to UCross this week?
I think in a time like our day and age, arts can be undervalued. And I believe providing the support can really help to continue fostering the creative process for these artists.
Yeah. All right, switching gears on you. One thing that everybody looks forward to every year, thanks to UCross, and that's the UCross Community Christmas Celebration. What can folks expect this year?
So we're hosting our annual Christmas Celebration on Saturday, December 13th, starting at 4 p.m. It's going to be at the Raymond Plank Center in UCross. We are suggesting that you do get free tickets because that helps us keep our numbers, you know, We know how many people to expect. So you can find those at ucross.org. We're going to have caroling by the Buffalo Baldiers and a fireside reading by Craig Johnson. We all love
yeah.
Craig Johnson. And then we're going to have music by a local band, the Fire Ants. I think they're located in Buffalo. And
the Fire Ants.
Yes. I mean, isn't that such a great name? They're wonderful. Kids Crafts, Jackie is making some seasonal treats, Chef Jackie, and we're also going to have a marshmallow roasting station outside, and
oh,
I think
wow.
that'll be real fun for the kids and me. And then we're also going to have our fireworks show, which is put on by Bruce Burns, and everyone loves the fireworks show.
Everyone loves Bruce.
Yes.
I've gotten to interview him in the past, and he is so dedicated to these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, and boy, he's always trying to top himself every
yep.
year. And he said that was probably the biggest challenge that he really had was trying to, how do I top this next year?
Oh my gosh, that'd be really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And but I think, you know what, he manages to pull it off every time. Now, let's move on down here. So you've got activities mm-hmm. for family, for visitors. If somebody wanted to come out and just see UCross, mm-hmm. are they able to do that? Just drive out, look around, and kind of see what's going on out there?
Yes. So if you are interested in coming out to UCross, we do have, obviously, our residency is very private, but we do have our art gallery and cafe. And so you can come out, get a latte. We have espresso there. And then also just look at the art. We have Luminous Forms, which is our main exhibition right now. We have the Big Red Showcase featuring an artist alumni from UCross, Roxanne Everett. And then we also do have our sound exhibition, which is pretty interesting.
Sound exhibition. What is this?
So it's called Confluences. It's an app you can download on your phone. You can walk the grounds of UCross and in your headphones, or, you know, if you're in a big group, you can always play it out loud. you can wander the grounds and listen to the sounds of the season, different animals, interviews with ranchers, artists, people of the land, indigenous folks, things like that. So,
holy cow.
Yeah.
How long has this been going on?
You know, I am not sure when it started. It started before I started there, but it is kind of an ongoing exhibition we have right now. And it's a really interesting, just immersive way to enjoy the land.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Have you, you've done this?
Yes, I have. And it was very interesting because when we were on this trail, I was listening in my headphones and I could hear all these swamp sounds like crickets and things like that. I had to take off my headphone to see if it was actually outside or if it was in my headphone. Yes.
Wow. Well, does it, you know, really make you experience the entire layout of the place?
So there are places that would need to be guided trails, which this year we just finished up our guided hikes or guided sound hikes. But I think in the future we'll look into
something like
providing that again, because it was very interesting. And they're on the trails that are open to residents, but not open to public.
Oh, so, understand.
Yes. Okay. So we'd guide them on those trails.
Absolutely. I do like the fact that, you know, you've got kind of the trails that folks can go out, take part in, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you still isolate your artists a little bit as
yeah,
much as
they want
to.
Yeah, their privacy is so important to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when somebody wants to get kind of separated from the world, you don't want the world knocking on the front door.
Exactly.
Right? All right. Now, one more time, can you tell me when and where the Christmas celebration will be?
So it's going to be on Saturday, December 13th, starting at 4 p.m. located at the Raymond Plank Center in UCross. And you can find those free tickets just by visiting ucross.org and also find more information if you'd like.
All right. Now, before I let you go, please remind folks how they can participate in Giving Tuesday. And if they can't make it this Tuesday, how can they donate later on?
So we have a webpage, ucross.org/Giving Tuesday. You can find all the information on there. You can give online. Just we go by a Square system. So you can give online, by phone, by mail, by wire, whatever works best for you. And we would love to see the donations and meet that goal on Tuesday, Wednesday. So today, Tuesday, Wednesday. But also, you can give anytime, and that would be wonderful.
Now, you've been out there for a little while now. I know that you absolutely love your job. But I don't know if I've ever asked you this, even at home. What is your favorite part about UCross? What is your favorite aspect about it?
I would say just being surrounded by art. Right now, our offices are going under a renovation, so we're all working in the gallery. But I'll tell you, it's a treat because I get to be surrounded by Roxanne's pieces, the pieces in Luminous Forms. I get to hear Confluences and things like that. So I think just being surrounded by art fuels me.
And, you know, I know that is something that you have wanted your entire life.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate you. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse, Sun 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with 3D materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at befirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Just in time for Christmas, we have received pallets of merchandise at liquidator pricing and are passing the savings on to you. You will save more than you spend with savings up to 88% off from power tools and accessories, Christmas decorations, gadgets, pet beds, stocking stuffers, and items that you didn't even know you needed. And it's all priced to sell. The Sheridan Commercial Company Holiday Bargain Sale continues this week. Shop local and save big at the Sheridan Commercial Company.
This holiday season, let's celebrate with responsibility. Enjoy a beer, but remember, know your limits and never drink and drive. Plan ahead, use a designated driver, or call a ride. Wyoming's beer distributors are proud to be more than just business owners. They're neighbors, supporters of local events, and partners who give back to our communities all year long. Together, we can keep our holidays safe and full of cheer. This message is sponsored by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, the Wyoming Beer Distributors Association, and this station.
The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
Looking for more space this holiday season? Synergy Shop-A-Miniums is your solution. Customizable warehouses just minutes from downtown Sheridan. Whether you need secure storage, a home for your small business, room for your hobbies, or a spot for your recreational vehicles, we've got you covered. Celebrate the season with extra space and peace of mind. For more information or a walkthrough call, Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates.
Ho, ho, ho!
Incredible local beef raised right here in Sheridan Johnson Counties could be yours if you enter the Beef Up Your Holiday Sweepstakes. Three lucky winners will each take home $100 in beef product as well as merchandise from local suppliers. Sponsors include Valley Meats, Bighorn Mountain Farms, Double L Meat Processing, Sheridan County Cattlewomen, IM Bar Longhorns, The Buckshot in Ranchester, Cross Sea Dairy and Freedom Foods, and Bighorn Meats from Buffalo. Beef up your holidays. Enter now through December 14th at SheridanMedia.com.
This announcement brought to you by Farmers Co-op Country Store on Coffeen Avenue, home of the 99-cent soda.
Come to the Kendrick Mansion's annual holiday open house on December 5th, 6th, and 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. Listen to live music, visit with Father Christmas, and if you've never had figgy pudding, well, here's your chance. Admission is $4 per adult and children are free. The Kendrick Mansion is located at Trail End State Historic Site in Sheridan. Visit trailend.org or call 307-674-4589 for more information.
Hi, this is Leslie Segretti.
And I'm Tom Kreitler, and you're listening to News Talk 930.